Welcome to the Beginning to Flourish pod. I'm James Cathcart. I'm joined again by Albert Bogle. We are at the Sanctuary First team, and we're getting stuck in again to this idea of what it means to flourish. So Albert, you, me, everybody, we're all Nicodemus, aren't we? What do I mean?
We're now in a wee pod, James. We're not in a podcast, we're in a little pod.
We're two peas in a pod. And we're ready to burst out of our pod. And here we are. So why am I saying that you're Nicodemus, I'm Nicodemus? You know, it's not I'm Spartacus, I'm saying I'm Nicodemus. Why are we all Nicodemus?
Well, of course, Nicodemus came to Jesus, we're told, by night. So it was almost as though he wasn't quite ready to declare himself. But he didn't want people to see him coming to Jesus. But he came to Jesus by night because he wanted to talk to him about something. And Jesus could speak right into his life. And that's what I was then wondering about. You know, I think Nicodemus was losing his religion and discovering faith. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, these podcasts that we're trying to put together is all about helping us all lose our religion and come to the new place of faith. And that's quite frightening when you're leaving something behind to start something new, to flourish in a new way. And you know you've got to leave something behind, and it might be something that's very, very deep within you, and it could maybe even be part of your religion. And Nicodemus is a Pharisee, he's a good man, and he's heard the teaching of Jesus, and now he's saying, what is this? And he comes to Jesus, I think, and he says, we know that you're a teacher. You know you're a good man. And this conversation that becomes the writer of the story, where did this story come from? How did this story get out? You know, and I think Nicodemus is telling his story to someone at some other time within the community of the church or sometime. And he's saying, do you know what? I came to Jesus. How did I come? I came by night time. I didn't want. I was struggling with. I was losing my religion, but finding my faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I and here he's in that community, and the story is then told, and the story is remembered. And he remembers what Jesus said to him, and it's almost as though Nicodemus says, "And you know what, Jesus." He cut through everything. He could see right into my heart. And he said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, you need to encounter the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has to breathe upon you. And then you'll see it. You'll have eyes to see. And this is us back to what we were talking about in the last session about the Holy Spirit coming to make the Bible come alive to us.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit comes to make conversation alive to us. So that our conversations with other people, the Spirit begins to take the conversation and takes it. And Nicodemus is overwhelmed by the whole idea. How can I be born again? He's still looking at a very practical way, but what must I do? I can't do that. I can't be born again. And then Jesus goes in to take it in a much deeper level, as John's gospel is all about, different levels. If people who study it realize there's different levels within it. And Jesus then says, no. Nicodemus, what's born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit, it's born of flesh is born of the... But you need to be born of water and the Spirit. And he's talking then about this new baptism, you know, the new life. Mm-hmm. But there you go. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was there in the room with you with Nicodemus. That was great. That was great. And so in terms of my original proposition there, you know, why I'm Nicodemus, why you're Nicodemus, why we're all Nicodemus, is because this reading comes for us in our theme material that we've been working on over Lent, Beginning to Flourish, in our week all about shelter, okay? So this isn't a week that is just, you know, formally about insight or discipleship or you know, something like that. Not that, you know, you can't touch on many themes, but what's the overriding principle? How are we approaching? You're getting lost to the light there, Albert. Don't worry. We'll carry on. For those listening to the pod, Albert is glowing beatifically.
Praise the light. This is the light of the Lord.
Exactly. Clearly somebody was listening when you were preaching there, and the sunlight's come. But anyway, so in this reading, the way we're looking at it, in this particular instance, when we're coming to this reading, is this idea of Nicodemus finding shelter. Okay? Because what is one of our primal human needs? We need to breathe, like we were thinking about before. And, you know, in this episode, I want to think about this idea of our need for shelter. And Nicodemus, he's scared to come in the day. He's scared to come when people are watching. But he needs shelter. It's the middle of the night and he's got questions. He's got burning questions. Like you say, he's on that trajectory, losing his religion, gaining this new faith. And he wants to find out more. And so like many of us, like any of us, like all of us, perhaps he finds himself in the middle of the night looking for shelter. Who hasn't had those long, dark nights of the soul where you're lying there? And you might not know God or have a way of articulating who God is or who Jesus is. You may not have a great, you know, plan. You may not have signed up. You may not consider yourself part of this. But who doesn't, in the middle of the night, find themselves needing shelter? You know, like it's too late or it's too early. You can't sleep. You're up. These questions are going around your mind and you're reaching out. You're reaching out for something. And Nicodemus finds that in Christ. But I think a lot of us are in that moment, aren't we? At different times in our lives, where we find ourselves looking for shelter, because shelter isn't just simply a roof over our head, although it is. You know, we basically need shelter. That's just a basic human need. But there's something really telling. You know, you said about, like, how did this story get out, right? And the significant part of this story for me, when we're looking at it, is the dynamic of how it happens. Because I imagine that John 3:16, you know, Jesus will have said that hundreds of times, I imagine. Throughout, you know, his gospel life, right? You could have quoted Jesus saying that. He must have said it to hundreds of people, right? But why do we hear it here? Why does John choose to give us this story of this individual who's on the very edge of the trajectory, someone who won't publicly admit that they're part of this? Why does he get to hear in this story the perfect encapsulation of the reading? Because it's that shelter. It's the fact that Jesus creates space for us to come to him.
And that's why he says, come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's what he was needing. Nicodemus needed to rest. It was nighttime. He needed to rest.
Yeah.
But he comes to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't say to him, oh, by the way, this is beyond office hours. 9 to 5.
Yeah.
This is my day off, by the way. So I can't speak to you.
An out-of-office reply.
He doesn't say that. He says, no. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's that open, that welcome to the inquirer. And I think we need to always say that to everyone who's maybe somebody listening to this podcast. You know, that you come with your questions, and you're allowed to have your questions. And you're allowed to sometimes feel as though you're not sure that you believe everything. But you know something? It takes us to the next idea. But sometimes you feel you belong.
Yeah.
Before you believe.
Absolutely.
You feel as though there is something here for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I remember we used to come to church at St. Andrew's Bowness, and he said to me, you know, Albert, I don't know if I believe all this, but I just like coming on a Sunday because I feel I belong here. You know, and it's the more men and women encounter the beauty and the love and the acceptance of the Christian community that they begin to understand that faith is a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something, it's not logic. You know, faith is tied up with love. That's why Paul says, you know, at the end in that wonderful song he writes in Corinthians 13, and there remains these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And love is the most illogical thing you'll ever come across. You see, the trouble with in our world today and in politics today, around the world today, is everything's transactional. We're hearing this word, transactional. He's a transactional politician. Do this and you'll get that back. Do this and you'll get that. But you know, love does not have any transaction. Love is not transactional. I love you and expect nothing back in return.
Yeah.
Now, that is the amazing story of the gospel. And that's why when we come to talk about these things and begin to engage with these things, if you're listening to these things, there comes a point where you can't logically put it all down in paper, but it's something that is working in your heart and your soul and your response, the way you feel about things. And it's something about the grace of God. Grace warms you up in a way that nothing else can do. So it's that coming with your doubts and with your questions, but being aware that you're beginning to belong. And that's where we all are at, by the way. You know, in case you think that somehow people of faith know it all, or ministers, or people know, we're all people who have discovered this is where we belong, but we've got so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand it all.
Totally. Totally. I wonder, Albert, if I've got one or two things to sort of add on this, and I wonder if while I do, for the benefit of video watchers, if you would be able to check your blinds, maybe, because we're getting a lot of bright light from you, which is amazing.
Right, I'll go and do that. Right.
So I'll just say, you know, while Albert's getting his blinds there, that I think what's so moving about what Albert's just been saying is this idea of love itself as a shelter. That it's through love,
blinded by the light.
No longer blinded by the light. Thank you there for sorting your blinds. But yes, so we are able to come to God in that shelter, the shelter of love. And you were just mentioning there about how we're kind of anticipating belonging. Well, perhaps there's a kind of mathematics to this where you could say breathing plus shelter equals belonging. So if you spend enough time breathing with other people under the same shelter, right? If you spend enough time in the same air as people, literally and metaphorically, then you'll start to belong. Then you'll start to belong. You'll be part of that. And I think, you know, often people, all of us, you know, we come to the Bible and we expect it to do these things for us. We expect the Bible to have all these answers. And when it doesn't, we either go, well, there's something up with the Bible and we reject the Bible, or we go, well, there's something up with me because I'm clearly not getting this. And other people are getting stuff out of this book, but I'm getting nothing from it. So clearly I'm at fault. Or they come to the Bible and they say, well, clearly the Bible's at fault because nothing's coming out of this. Well, it's probably a complicated picture where the Bible is this massive complicated thing and you are this massive complicated thing. And are you part of a community? Are you part of a shelter, of an experience, a community that's going through this together that can help to shelter one another, that can help one another to get through this? Because if you're not, if you're just plowing on your own, it's tough. It's hard. There are mystics. There are people who go out there and retreat and they're just there with God and they meditate on these things and they go deep. But that's a hard life and that's not for everyone.
But do you know something? Absolutely, James. And a very simple thing to remember. God loves you. If God created you, he loves you. Now, you don't need to love God. God loves you first.
Yeah.
And if you can understand this is the God we are talking about. This is the person of, and he's a person. He's not, God is not some abstract being, but he's true personhood. If you think you're a person and you're a real person, you're an archetypal God is the archetypal person. God is the real person. And we are like the prince of a person, you know. And what gives us real personhood is the Spirit of God that begins to give us new life and give us a new, make us into a new person. Like Nicodemus, you need to be born of the Spirit. And all of a sudden you come to life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you're loved by God. And it's not for a holy club. This is the other thing, is we've been talking about this, about belonging. What we don't want people to think is, oh, there's a shelter here and it's only the holy ones that get in. It's only the ones that belong that get totally. In.
Totally.
No. It's big enough for everyone. The tent is big enough for everyone. God so loved the world.
Yeah.
God has no favorites. God has no community that says we're greater than another community. No. God says, no. I love all my children. All of these things are important. And by the way, God says too sometimes, I think, see you guys that are talking about all your nations. That's just a man-made idea you've got. I created the world without boundaries.
Totally.
We have created nations for our own benefit. But when we begin to think of the world and the community of the world, the God who is for all, the gospel that is for all, the call that all men are loved by God, all men deserve to breathe the air, to live, to have shelter, to exist, to be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Totally.
Doesn't that challenge us? That challenges, that opens up a whole new understanding. And by the way, where did that come from? Bible.
Absolutely, because that's one of the phenomenal things, isn't it, about the Bible, is that so much of the Bible is kind of referred to and tied to other bits of the Bible. And so when you think, you know, what are these profound questions or doubts that we might have? Well, often those profound questions and doubts are already in the Bible. Somebody has sung it in the Bible, or somebody has directly flat out said it, or there's a tale or something that enacts that doubt and that faith. The Bible is not, you know, this book of perfect people living perfect lives that we're meant to emulate. It's a book about real, flawed, interesting, wacky people who are trying, who fail, who mess up, who screw up, but then in other ways are able to come back in, to learn, develop, to grow, to flourish, you know, because it's over time, you know. And so I think it's worth sometimes, and I thought we might move the conversation on as we sort of wrap this one up, but it's worth sometimes thinking that, like, put the pressure off yourself a bit when you come to the Bible, and take the pressure off the Bible a little bit. You know, have a little bit of trust that this is a resource that you're going to get something from. You are, of course, a worthy person loved by God. So you might not immediately feel these things. You might not immediately pick up the Bible, open up at a random page and think, oh, this is so inspiring. You know, you might just be flicking through it and thinking, this is very boring. You might look at yourself in the mirror and think, who am I that God, you know, that God cares about me specifically? Like, maybe God's out there, whatever, but why is the deal? No, take it at the moment on trust. Take it on trust that you are loved by God. Take it on trust that the Bible has some value. And don't just leave those assumptions there, but start in that place where you make a little tent, you make a little shelter there under that feeling, and then start to test it out, start to live with it, start to live out those questions, you know, and then you'll find the Bible's often surprising you, and you are often surprising you in what God can do with you and what God can do with the Bible. Mm. And so as we draw this bit to a close, Albert, one of our other readings that we're looking at in the theme is Psalm 27, and we're talking about, you know, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So this idea of this ongoing process of dwelling, you know, and I don't know about you, but the word dwell, it's not one I use that much. It's not one I encounter an awful lot in life. It's kind of slightly older kind of way of talking about things. But what do you think about this idea of our themes, you know, and how we produce these themes and these readings that we provide? How are we, and are we helping people to dwell with God through the material? How, you know, and I don't just mean like this particular theme, but, you know, in terms of thinking about all the themes that we make, how are we ensuring that people can dwell with God in the journey that we take them through the Bible?
I think one of the areas is that God reveals himself through nature, so dwelling with God. Like, so if I was talking today in one of the early morning prayers, I was talking about the importance of getting out and walking and being in the countryside and engaging with the creation. So getting out and engaging, dwelling with God is getting out and opening your eyes to use your senses to see God, to hear God in creation, but also then to realize that God works through our, and God, we can dwell with God in our jobs, in our work, in our vocation, that we dwell with God in becoming, if you're a creative, if you're a songwriter, then you write good songs that are wholesome and helping people. Or if you're a van driver, you drive well and you try to make all your contacts, but you don't overwhelm yourself, you know, but you do, whatever you do. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, regardless what it is we're working at, we're trying to say to people, see God in your everyday life. You know, so dwelling with God is allowing God to come into every part of your life and bring God into every part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there is any place that you think God can't be, then maybe you shouldn't be there.
Mm.
You know, is there somewhere where God is not welcome, or is there something that there's another question to ask then, or is God even in the most unwelcome places? Is God in the places where we shouldn't be engaging with people? Talking to people, you know, challenging us to live in a different way. I don't know. I'm just throwing all that out. Podcast is to be willing to speak and share ideas that are not completely thought through all the time.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's beginning to flourish, right? This is not Flourish 101. We don't have all the answers or anything straight. But no, that was really fascinating, thinking about the different ways we dwell, you know, in our everyday lives, how we live and we live with God. And so in terms of, you know, that question I threw out about our theme material and stuff, I think one of the things certainly for me that I'm passionate about when we're developing these themes is that we do search wide, you know, so we use the lectionary, which is this pattern of going through the Bible over a 3-year cycle. We don't stick to it all the time, do we, Albert? We go in and out of it. Mm-hmm. But we come to that text and we breathe it in and we breathe it out and we think, okay, what could God be saying to us in this, and how does it tie into the other things that are on our heart, the things we've been carrying, the things that we've been praying about? And so my hope when we create these theme materials is that we go in different directions and we create multiple points of entry, so that people can find those moments, those sparks, where they find shelter with God. Because where I find shelter with God and where you find shelter with God might not be the same. And so we try in our material to create a kind of thick resource that's got these different layers, so that at different times, different questions, different angles will hook in different people.
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge for us to go away and think about this dwelling with God is, is it possible to say to God, God, you can't come into this part of my life because you can't, you couldn't dwell here. You couldn't dwell here. And does God look at us and say, well, if you think I couldn't dwell here, what are you doing here? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
And if God has to walk away from your life because are you choosing that compartment of your life over God?
And we know that...
challenging one, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say, and we know Christ brings liberation, you know, and freedom. And there are things that are trapping us, places that maybe we don't need to be anymore, you know, and places we need to be led away from. And I mean this in all sorts of different ways and terms and permutations. You know, there's all sorts of things that weigh us down in life. And it could be that part of taking shelter with God is taking down the little ramshackle shelter that we made. Maybe we bolted a few random bits of planks together and we thought, okay, this will do me. And it turns out that shelter is no very good. And actually we're being led by God, by a community of fellow souls who can lead us to better shelter. And there might even be a story that Jesus told about that. I'm not sure. As things go around and come around.
I did talk about a wise man who built his house upon a rock.
Right, you'll start singing in a minute. So we should we should draw this one to a close. But thanks for listening, folks. And we'll join you again soon for more Beginning to Flourish Pod.